In lecture 9, we are now going to start chapter 2, which is entitled The Torah's Attitude to Food. So we are going to now examine what that is. We learn that the Torah understands food as more than just a way to physically sustain ourselves, but more than that, it influences us spiritually, intellectually, and our personalities. Food for the Jewish person has moral and religious significance to it. Now, there is a common understanding in the world that religion deals with the spiritual and does not concern itself with physical items that seem so important, such as food, which has no obvious connection to the spiritual or man's morality. This understanding is that religion is concerned exclusively with a person's inner frame of mind and spirituality, nothing else really. In Judaism, however, we really have a completely different understanding of what religion is. Not only that, there is no actual word for religion in the Torah, because every single thing that we do comes under the umbrella of religion. Since the Torah is absorbed in every aspect of our lives, it's actually more accurate to understand Judaism as a theonomy, a system of laws that governs our lives, more so than saying it's a religion. So in other words, it's kind of wrong to call Judaism a religion. It doesn't really fit that category. To say that there is a specific part of life that is involved with religion and other parts that are not involved is basically a blasphemous statement, since that attitude is excluding God from an aspect of life. And to quote Diane Grunfeld directly, he writes, "To be religious means to the faithful Jew to conceive of all human activities as falling within one scheme, the character of which is determined by the all-embracing laws of the Torah." Now, as we discuss in the 19 Letters series, we attempt to emulate Hashem, who is a complete and whole one, by making our lives one unit. We are not schizophrenic. We must be the same Jew, the same person, in every situation, and in every part and aspect of our lives. Since in our conception, life is one, it is indivisible, therefore no part of life falls outside the domain of the Torah. We are a holy nation, not because we are ruled by some priestly caste, but rather we are meant to be, and here's another direct quote, "a commonwealth where every home is a temple and every table an altar, where the fields and the meadows, the workshops and marketplaces, the offices, homes and kitchens are just as much scenes of divine service as the house of worship and the house of study." Now this idea is spelled out in Mishlei. It says in 3:6, "B'chol derachacha da'ehu, v'hu yasher orchosecha. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." So we see that this pasuk encapsulates that idea of b'chol derachacha da'ehu. There is nothing which falls outside of the Torah. The Torah wants us to lead holy lives, and it tells us this directly in Vayikra 19:2. It says, "Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should be holy, for I, Hashem, am holy." All of the many little activities that we do throughout the day are hallowed by the Torah. There are three basic human cravings that the Torah places special emphasis on, as we mentioned earlier: food, relationships, and the desire to acquire items. And these three are spread out in three of the four books on the Shulchan Aruch, which lays down the basic code of Jewish law. Now, food is in Yaradea, relationships in Evan HaEzer, and acquisitions are spoken about in Choshen Mishpat. So clearly, we are dealing with the first, we're really dealing in Yaradea here, the idea of food. In Pirkei Avos, we have the following statement from Rabbi Shimon. It says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, "Shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad, v'lo amru olav divrei Torah, hilu achlu mizivchei mesim." And the reverse of that is, "Shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad, v'amru olav divrei Torah, Kilu achlu mishulchano shel makom. So the first statement is that if you eat and three people eat together and they don't say any words of Torah, so it's like zivchei mesim, which literally means from the offerings of the dead. And the flip side is that you have three people that say words of Torah, so it's like they're eating from God's table. So three people eat and they say words of Torah, they take the animal function that they are doing and they make it holy. And the Jewish table, we know, is compared to an altar. Before we eat bread, we wash our hands. This is not to clean them, this is not a hygienic thing, but to lift them like the Kohanim used to do, hence the term netila, and one of the connotations of netila is lifting. And this doesn't mean a physical lifting, even though perhaps some people do raise their hands after they wash them. It means that we are raising our hands in a holy way, in a spiritual way, like the Kohanim used to do. They used to wash before they would do certain services. Well, we're going to eat, and we wash our hands as well. Why do we eat? We don't live to eat, but rather we eat to live and serve Hashem. In our brachos on food, we state, when we say Melech HaOlam, that everything belongs to Hashem, and that the food in front of us and everything else that we have needs to be used to serve Him. When we have a mezumen, we bless Hashem. Rav Hirsch writes that this means that we cooperate with Him in all aspects of our lives. So we serve God by eating. It is well known that the Romans had very gluttonous meals, and that they would make themselves throw up in order to eat more. Now that is eating to satisfy one in a completely sensuous way. Compare this to our laws and our approach, where we most certainly enjoy our food. Absolutely, you're supposed to enjoy your food, but for a totally different purpose and on a different plane. So this ends our summary of chapter 2. And next time we will examine chapter 3, which is entitled Particularism and Universalism in the Jewish Dietary Laws.